Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Steve, Chris, Sharpie, and Lauren. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Howdy, Lisa.
There's the howdy. On today's show, we're going to be talking about free dining.
Gotta love free food.
Free food.
I'm sorry, did you say free dining?
Free
I'm
dining.
Sorry, I've got to go.
Free. It's free.
I'm still on hold. Since yesterday
so
morning.
So you'll need to go in about, what, four hours?
If they pick up at some point, I'm going to have to hang up.
I think I heard a click. Did they just disconnect you,
they
Lauren?
They disconnected me
They
again,
just
yeah.
disconnected you. Great. Great. Well, now you can join the podcast.
Oh, good.
All right. So, we're going to be talking about free dining. And Lauren, you just got back from Disney World, and you had a couple of things that you wanted to report back on.
Yes, I did. I actually went down there with my daughters and three of their friends, two of their friends' moms, and two of other friends of mine. And we stayed at Old Key West, which I had never actually done. We stayed in a two-bedroom villa. And I think the resort grounds are absolutely beautiful. That the staff was great. Food was good. Rooms were nice.
But?
I hate the busing.
Yeah.
That would prevent me from staying. Now, if I was doing this trip that I just did with going down there for Cheerleading Worlds, with a big group like that, the villa was perfect for that. It was in the reasonable price range where we could all chip in and it wasn't too much money. But and it was great because we could eat breakfast, the kids could run around, have a good time. But I don't think I would stay there on a family trip, like if I was just going to the parks, because the busing was, it literally took us a half hour to go around the property to get to our bus stop because we were the last bus stop.
Oh, that's that.
It was forever.
That's the same thing.
What if you had your own car?
Yeah.
I don't ever have my own car, so I don't know that would ever work out for me.
I mean, but we had the same thing when we stayed at Coronado Springs. We were the first stop on the way out, which was awesome because you're like, yay, you don't have to pick anybody else up. But then at midnight when it goes, you're like the fifth one or something, and you're like, ugh.
Here's the thing I noticed about the property. When you're going through the busing, Coronado, it moves faster because it's just going bus stop to bus stop to bus stop.
Doesn't have
there,
to turn around.
They have to go around these tiny little streets and turn around.
Yeah.
It was not well thought out
for busing.
The size property it is for busing.
It
took a lot longer because of that.
Yeah.
It felt like, and maybe I was just tired, but the one night it felt like it was, we got on property and it was like, oh my God, we're never getting off this bus. We're sleeping on this bus. It was like that bad. We're just like, this is crazy.
We're going to go to sleep and wake up back at the park we just left.
Back in the Magic Kingdom. What happened? But it was, it was great. We enjoyed it. We had a couple little maintenance things that went on, but for the most part, that was normal wear and tear type stuff. It wasn't a big deal. And they came right away and fixed things, so it wasn't a problem.
All right.
But,
so where
good.
Is there like Sharpie? Is there a spot? Because I think you know that resort. Is there a good spot to get a room where it's got decent bus transportation?
Oh, we were in a good spot for it. We just
were you at the hospitality house?
We were right across the street from the hospitality house.
That's that same situation where you're either first or last.
Yep.
Among the best is actually right across the bridge from Hospitality House, because it kind of puts you in the middle of pickup and the middle of drop off, so you're never on there for the full length of pickup or drop off. So that would be my recommendation, is to request one of the buildings there. I want to say it's building 24. I'm actually going to check a map really quickly because I think that's important.
Yeah, because that might make it
better. The grounds are gorgeous, though.
It's
beautiful.
We stayed in a building that overlooked the bridge and the one golf hole that's right there.
Yeah, we backed to the
hospitality house.
Okay.
And that was, we sat out on the patio one morning and watched a whole family of river otters playing for at least 45 minutes. It was one of the coolest nature experiences I've had at Disney World. It was just really cool to watch.
You wanted to hear what my nature was? I sat out on the balcony. It was probably my prettiest time of ever working on free dining.
I know.
It was much better than the view from my window.
It's nice.
Oh, now, what did you think of free dining?
Did you get to eat there?
Yes, we did. We actually got to eat at Olivia's, which I was really excited about because I've never eaten there and I've heard really good things about it.
Did you have the key lime pie?
I did not. Here's the bad thing. We sat down at 9:30 for dinner.
Oh, that's tough.
So that's tough.
I got a burger.
That's tough.
But the food was really good. The service was really good. They were super nice in there. And you know, everything came out. The bread was good. That pineapple coconut bread.
Yep.
That was really good. But I think it's a great little sleeper restaurant. Like, we walked in and of course it was 9:30, so it wasn't like peak dinner time, but we were able to sit down and eat and have a nice meal, which was good. Cause if I ate one more chicken finger, I was probably going to jump off a building.
As a quick side note, buildings 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27 are all convenient to the Peninsular Road bus stop. And it's right before Hospitality House.
Yep.
So it kind of puts you in the middle of that whole busing situation.
We were
and yet it keeps you close to Hospitality House.
Right. We were building 64, which was I love the location of the building.
Yeah, we've stayed in 62 and 16 before, they're right across from 64.
Yep.
How do you remember those things?
Yeah, I would never. I won't remember.
I have, and we've also stayed in building 11.
Oh my gosh.
I have the uncanny ability to remember resort room locations years and years down the road. Yep, tiny details. Another one that is actually not bad is Old Turtle Pond Road.
That's the reason the quiet pool is. It's open 24 hours.
Exactly. That's the reason why I recommend that is because it's a good location. It's near tennis courts, and it's also the location of the other quick service dining location that's at Old Key West, other than the one that's at Hospitality House. It's the Turtle Snack Shack or Turtle Shack Snack Bar or something along those lines. It's on Turtle Pond Road, and the quiet pool's there. Beautiful walk. It's just a really really cool location. Kind of the buildings are surrounded by water, so really really cool. If you have your own car, I would not recommend that loop though, because there is very limited parking on that loop. If you are taking your own car, I would recommend staying in the Hospitality House area. Which floor were you on, Lauren?
Unfortunately, we were on the first floor.
So what was your noise situation?
It was bad. And that would be my recommendation, actually. I would always request top floor.
Yeah.
Because it was, I mean, there were kids at 6 a.m. running like lunatics around.
And they took all the carpeting out of those rooms, so it makes it just exceptionally loud.
Yeah, I would always, from now on moving forward, I would always request second floor for my clients.
Yeah, and it's important to note that not all of the buildings at Old Key West have elevators. So if someone is traveling with a disability and you need ground floor access, make sure you either request ground floor or you make sure you select one of or request one of the buildings that does have an elevator for second story access. So that's just kind of a quick side note on the skinny of disability access at Old Key West.
Sounds like a good time. Did you you went for cheer, right?
I did. I took my daughters down there for the Cheerleading Worlds competition, which was a very interesting experience. I learned a lot, which was great. Anybody who's going down there for a cheer competition, I can help you now. But it was interesting. I learned what not to do and what to do. The one downside to staying at Old Key West is that it is not a resort, which I knew going in. It's not a resort that the cheerleaders are at, which is not where you really want to be anyway. But because of that, they don't have busing from the hotel to ESPN. So we wound up taxiing a lot, which was not a big deal. It was worth it to taxi over. We probably should have just rented a car. It probably would have been cheaper, but it was interesting. The one tip I can tell you, if you're ever going for a cheer competition there, and especially Worlds, the way they do it, if they offer the package with the tickets and the cheer competition included, take it. Because if you don't, you stand on really long lines and get to talk to Chris Woods a lot.
That was lovely for me, because you know how I'm always very excited about anything to do with cheerleading.
So that would be my one tip. But it was interesting. I mean, we actually went over to All Star Sports and watched some of the cheerleaders practicing. I would hate for any of my clients to be in one of those hotels during that time if they weren't there for cheerleading, because, you know, it's just, unless you're a fan, it's chaotic. You know, and they were just everywhere. So, you know, the other resorts weren't affected by it. The crowd levels were not affected by it, because there's honestly no free time for them. So that there's really, most of the cheerleaders aren't allowed to go to the parks because they're competing.
Aww.
So it's kind of interesting. Once you're done competing, you can go, but most of them are there for the long haul, so they compete 3 days.
Wow.
So it's interesting. It was really interesting. But yeah, it's definitely, it doesn't really affect, it affects only the hotels really that the cheerleaders are at. Otherwise, I really do not think that those big competitions like that are anything to be afraid of. Just stay away from the hotels.
One more old Key West question. Did you go to the gurgling suitcase?
I have to be honest with you. We only saw the hospitality house for busing. And we did the quiet pool from 11 to 12 last night. And that is all we did there. We were literally at the field all the time watching the cheerleading. I mean, my kids are groupies. So it was die hard there. So.
So what's the gurgling suitcase?
The gurgling suitcase is the kind of indoor-outdoor bar that is at Olivia's at the hospitality house. It's kind of at Olivia's. It's not really at Olivia's.
It's around the side, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I saw it
adjacent to the pool. It's just a cool little kind of almost poolside bar, but not quite poolside. But it's right there at the marina at the hospitality house. It's a cool little bar.
I might change my internet passwords to gurgling suitcase, because no one will ever figure that one out.
Well, folks, all of our Mouse Chat listeners now, anytime you need to access Lisa's account, just type in gurgling suitcase.
All right. Shall we move forward?
I'm afraid of this.
Could we talk about the sad part of your trip?
What, that you weren't there?
Yes. No, when she was calling me and she was so stressful. It's my segue, Lisa, because free dining came out on her vacation.
Yes, it did.
And I literally sat on the balcony at Old Key West looking out at the beautiful golf course crying.
I know. It was so sad. At first I thought you were exaggerating, like, she's not really crying. And then I was like, oh, yeah, she's actually crying.
I was just so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It was because I couldn't get through. If I could have gotten through or I could have made the changes online, I'd have been fine.
But you were a sitting duck.
Yeah, literally.
Quack.
Hmm.
All right, so free dining came out. And this is probably the undisputed best offer that Disney has. I know Sharpie's probably going to dispute
normally.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, normally, yeah, it is. It's a great savings, especially when you have people in your party that are 10 or over, and they're going to pay that adult price for dining. And if you can get a hold of probably a moderate resort with 4 technical adults in your party, it's going to be a huge savings. Let's go over the dates real quick. What were the valid dates for the offer? Chris, Sharpie, do you have those?
So, the valid dates for the offer are August 28th through October 2nd, and then breaking for nearly the entire month of October. Free dining comes back on October 25th through the 31st, which is a week, and then taking another break at the beginning of November. Free dining then comes back November 8th through the 19th. And then no more free dining until you get to December 15th. And then it is December 15th through the 21st. You must book any of those dates by July 10th. I would be willing to guess, but by the end of next week, you won't have any of those dates available.
Well, you will for deluxes, not for values and moderates.
Do you know what, though? Like, even the deluxes were pretty slim. Like, last night.
Very slim.
Yeah, I had a lady, and she wanted a week, and we couldn't get anything on the monorail except for a club-level theme park view suite at the Poly.
Yeah, and the suites are still available.
Excuse me?
The suites are still available.
Right, you know, yeah, but like a standard room.
$14,000.
Right,
right.
Right, because there was another, there was actually a suite available for them. It was $12,000. And, you know, they could get Beach Club, but then, and they could get Animal Kingdom Lodge, but that was about it. Oh, and Saratoga Springs.
Which is a deluxe villa resort, which doesn't have any convenient park transportation other than buses. So it truly, I love Saratoga Springs, and I'm going off on a very small tangent here, but Saratoga Springs is for a very specific type of guest who does not mind a large resort, long bus rides, and close proximity to downtown Disney. So just a very quick
tangent. It
has
its place.
There. Yeah.
Okay, so what resorts are included, or is it easier to say what's discluded?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Lisa, because the value and moderate resorts are excluded from the offer. The following are the Little Mermaid Suites. The entire All-Star Movies Resort is excluded. Port Orleans French Quarter. Port Orleans Riverside is excluded for travel between October 25th and December 21st. So for the majority of free dining, Port Orleans Riverside is excluded. The campsites at Fort Wilderness are excluded. The villas of the Grand Floridian are excluded. The Polynesian villas and bungalows, not the Polynesian village resort itself. Typical hotel rooms are available, but not the brand new villas and bungalows over the water. Bay Lake Tower is excluded, and all DVC three-bedroom grand villas are excluded from the offer. So that's the long and the short of it, Lisa.
Yeah, it seems that essentially we're looking at the month of September, 1 week in October, 1 week November, and 1 week December. So about 7 weeks worth of available dates, and there's such scarcity among those. But
I remember back in 2008, free dining was from September 1st until practically the end of the year, middle of the stock market crash. Yeah. Back when no folks were traveling.
Well, when we were thinking about talking about the history of kind of where free dining started and where we think it's going. And I remember when I worked at Disney, there was no such thing as free dining. And then I left Disney, and then, you know, then we kind of didn't go for several years. And
so after
sudden,
you left, they had to fill rooms because no one wanted to come
anymore?
Well,
there was always a slow season.
You read my mind, Lisa.
It was like a slow season. Yes, exactly.
They had to bribe
Steve
people with free dining.
Was the attraction.
Yes, in his little knickers.
But I don't know. And then they, you know, figured out free dining, and it became all the rage. And now you have Disney fans that are just waiting, chomping at the bit to.
Well, they're demanding it. They're refusing to go to Disney unless they get free dining, which is their prerogative. It's a great deal, and it makes it an affordable trip. But.
To which at Disney, I want to say, look at the monster you have created.
It is. Definitely.
Well, and then 9/11 happened, and I think maybe. It became a way to really fill the rooms, and it was this great offer. And
I don't think they were doing it.
I don't.
They were. I think they did it more because it was hurricane season.
Or hurricane. Yeah. It could
right.
Be.
I think they were doing it because all the kids went back to school in September, and hurricane season.
Yep. Because they,
and they had to fill the parks.
There was a time when there was no free dining, and then now it seems like everybody. And now it's slowly kind of.
This is the 10th year that they've actually had free dining.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a time that they didn't have dining plans at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, free dining actually came out the first year in 2005.
And I mean, an important thing to remember after September 11th, 2001, is Disney mothballed an entire resort. Yeah. Essentially, September 11th, 2001 really killed one resort, and it mothballed one for many months. The companion resort to Pop Century.
Yeah, Dixie Landings.
And Dixie Landings was
closed.
Mothballed. So the modern day Port Orleans resort, nothing.
Yeah. Yep. But
so now we have Art of Animation has been built. So we know that demand is back.
Yep.
We know that Disney's room occupancy is running upwards of 89% to 90%. So does Disney need free dining in this era?
I think they actually do. And actually, it's 87% across board is the goal. And they often don't hit that. So you might have entire resorts full different weeks of the year, but not every week. And so that's why they have free. I just think they're being very, very bold at this point. But I have to say, I think one thing, and I wanted to ask Steve this, something he said a little while back about how free dining didn't exist, you know, in the 90s. Was the food as good then?
I don't know. I mean,
you don't remember? Come on.
I would have to say no. There was less variety.
I mean, that's the complaint. Right. Is because you got to, because now everyone
food
knows,
is an attraction now.
Right.
But at least it's not all summer long fall long that free dining is going on. So maybe the food quality has gone up.
So I think that, like, if you look about 10, 15 years ago, Disney really decided to step up all their food offerings. So everything wasn't nuggets. It wasn't, you know, buffets that were basically a Golden Corral quality. But so they start having these awesome restaurants, and there are a lot of good restaurants on property. But the problem is those restaurants need guests every day of the year. They need to be, you know, somewhat full to stay busy. And they can't do that if they don't have people staying on property who are going to get the dining plan. Because Think about when you go, and Lauren and I talk about this all the time, we'll be at Disney, not on the dining plan, and even with Tables in Wonderland, we'll say, I'm going to go, you know, eat somewhere else. I'm going to eat cheap because I've got three kids. And, you know, so I think the problem and the difference is they didn't have, because I can remember going in the 80s and 90s and thinking, oh, this food is terrible. I would rather go eat at McDonald's. And I was so shocked when I started going again, how much better the food was. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah, they have really good restaurants now. And like you said, so they've got wait staff that they need to keep employed year round. They have the restaurants that they need to keep open year round.
And think about the quality of, you know, really, I mean, you know, occasionally we do get a bad server at Disney World, but overall, I've never had service like I've had at Disney at a typical restaurant. You know, so the service is very good at Disney. And if you've got to keep those people on full time, you can't have part-time people and we all know people who work at Disney who are kind of like, yeah, you know, I just work there part-time and, you know, the rest of the time I'm working down at Best Buy or managing a law office or whatever. And those people are not as committed or as well-trained possibly. So I just think, you know, dining and the dining plan in general just keeps all of that running smoothly. And so I think it'll be interesting to see what happens to it if there's no free dining.
So to back up just a little, yesterday, Monday, was, Monday, April 27th, Disney released free dining. So there were hold times on the consumer side, on the travel agency side, 4 hours plus. Their website was up and down and up and down all day long. Stuff was being dropped out of people's carts. I was booking several clients yesterday, and I would get all the way to the end, and the kids would just drop off the reservation. So a lot of the animosity that all of us are bringing to this is coming from this lack of planning and no release of this promotion early enough for even consumer side guests to book. So whenever we look at this, whenever Disney is putting a paying customer, a paying guest on hold for 4 hours, there must be something worth waiting for.
Yeah, people are excited for free dining, just, you know, like they're excited for things over the Christmas holiday or something. But Disney only puts out these offers for nights that they need to fill. And as demand goes up, the supply goes down, and then you realize that there is not a lot of rooms available to fill after waiting who knows how long on the phone, or getting dropped and then calling back. And then you realize that there's no free dining at the moderates, or there's no free dining during my dates, or so it becomes tougher and tougher. So that's why we're wondering if you know, free dining is going to be coming out next year, if this is the end of it, if it's going to be moving forward or not. It sounds like Chris thinks it's somehow it's tied to the restaurant, so maybe it'll still go on, but it seems to slowly whittle away as their promos aren't needed more and more.
Yeah, because the number of weeks has dropped and dropped and dropped. And then the limitation this year that was added, that you have to have a park hopper or water park fun and more option on your ticket, that was just added this year. So even a further restricted offer.
Means, like, for something like Pop Century, it's not much, because then you still have to upgrade to Plus Dining. So it's not that much of a savings, especially if you weren't planning on getting the park hopper. Like, most of my clients weren't getting the park hopper.
They have it now.
Yes, they
do. Yeah, and it's still a savings when you add that, and they get to try the hopper.
I personally think that Disney would be wise to put free dining the last 2 weeks of August and in September, like they did 10 years ago. And then for October, November, and December, do another promotion. Do that great gift card promotion they used to do. Do get a free park hopper, pay for quick service, get an upgrade, a free upgrade to Plus Dining. They're still making money. People are still happy. Right now, in the full 3 months from October 3rd to December 18th, let's say, or December 21st, really. In those 3 months, free dining is being offered for a total of 26 days out of all those months.
Mm-hmm. So less than a third of the time.
You don't really want to give free dining during that time. So let's not play games and offer it for 1 week here, 1 week there, 1 week here, blackout date here, blackout date there. Let's give them something else so everybody's happy. They just want a discount. They want to feel like they're getting something.
Right.
Yeah, but they only want to.
They're doing it now. Well, it doesn't cost them anything to give them the hopper.
Yeah, but the reason they're doing it that way is because those are the days that they need to fill rooms.
So right. But you know, it's so much more complicated. It's not necessary. They're making this complicated.
It used to be that you could get a deal 360 days out of the year, checking in just about any day out of the year. You could get something, and they've made it so that it's not quite like that now.
Yeah. Well, that's
and that's their business choice, and they're doing it to fill the rooms when they need to fill the rooms. But it's, you know, you could throw a bone, like Lauren's saying, let them feel like they're getting something, even if it's a 15 or 20% off, with a required purchase of so many nights and a hopper. You know, you can put stipulations on it. People just want a value.
And Disney wants to create this illusion of value. And I think that, like, the thing to always remember about free dining is, yes, you are getting the free dining plan, but you are paying rack rate for your room.
Well, yeah, and there's always some illusion of in, like, everything you buy, it seems like.
Well, but sure, you don't get anything for free. No such thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can go buy a car and get a free TV, but you could probably go buy the car and not get the free TV and save the money on the car. There's always some crazy extra thing that someone's doing. So you're getting the free dining plan. You're paying rack, so you're paying more for that. You're adding the park hopper now, so you're paying more for that. And you're getting a dining plan that, you know, maybe in some people's cases, they're not even going to eat that much food, or they would, you know, eat in their room or have breakfast in their room or something. So they
would have saved money somewhere else.
Yeah, so...
Well, you know what's interesting with the hopper that is required is that's just about equivalent to one night's plus dining. It's
for
pretty close for adults.
Yeah.
And so they're giving you this perk that costs them nothing, the hopper ability. And in return, you're going to be paying them for it, and so they're covering the cost of one night's dining, which is great for them, in exchange for something that costs them nothing.
So, yeah, so at the end of the day, you're paying rack rate for your room, you're buying a more expensive ticket than what you had initially planned, but you're getting 4 days on a 5-day trip of free dining.
Right.
So, yeah, it's...
And well, it works out great if you are a hopper person.
Right.
If you were going to buy it anyway, that's fantastic. So in that case, you actually are getting all the dining for free.
Or if you want to do the water park fun and more option, because you can book this offer for up to 14 nights, consecutive nights, if it's available in the system at this point in time, which I would highly doubt it would be, but we're talking theoretical here. So if you were to do a 7-day hopper, you essentially have 14 days worth of admission to some sort of Disney attraction for the price of a 7-day ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So who wants to go to Disney for 14 days this fall?
I wish.
Are you in, Lisa?
I think I might be.
And we were just talking about this earlier. What's a good booking strategy for a client? Do they, you know, book early? Do they wait for the offer to come out? Which one's better? You know, how do you set their expectations? If they're looking for like free dining, you probably don't want to book them at Port Orleans because it's very hard to get, or you know, somewhere at Art of Animation. So where should they
there
book for
patterns.
The best chance?
There's some patterns as to which resorts will not offer free dining.
Yeah.
Historically. And Sharpie read through some of those. Those aren't always on the list, but you're never going to get it with your 3-bedroom Grand Villas. French Quarter's always out. Little Mermaid rooms are always out.
Movies are lately always out.
Lately, yeah, those are excluded.
And now they're trying to push resorts. All the people that have rooms that sleep 5 to Caribbean Beach, so they've been excluding Riverside.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I actually have a theory.
Ooh, I love a good theory.
Free dining. When I book somebody, if they absolutely 100% have to have free dining, I tell them to book in September. Because there was one year that I remember in the last 10 years that didn't have the entire month of September available for free dining. Other than that, the entire month of September has been available historically. So if they really, really must have it, I recommend that they book for September.
Another recommendation that I would throw out there is don't book any airlines. Have the flexibility. Be willing
book
to
book Southwest.
Yeah. Have the flexibility in your resort choice as well as your dates.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's
and then
help.
the other thing too is you want to book early because you want to be able to book your dining for that 180-day mark.
Right.
And the bottom line is that once free dining came out yesterday, there was very few restaurants available already. There's none left now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, your availability for dining in September is nothing. You know, unless you're going to go to those sleeper restaurants that we talk about, you know, I think you're better off booking early. Worst case, if you have to, you know, if we can't get it on the flip and we can get it by rebooking it, we can have deposits transferred. So, you know, there's options there, but you're better off having it because God forbid your dates are locked in and you don't get it. And now free dining comes out.
Yeah, and if that's a deal breaker for your budget,
you know.
Yeah, you at least have the room. Chris, any booking strategy?
Jesse and I have always been in disagreement on strategy. I always said book it in advance and then just update it when you get there. Jesse was always of the mindset that there's no need to book it in advance. You might as well just book it when free dining is released. She most recently has come over to my side. Within the last month, we talked about it a lot, and then this offer comes out, and I'm like, why in the world would you book in advance? the unpredictability of the availability of this offer is crazy. I mean, you never know what weeks are going to exclude. It all depends on when they need you there. it's not a matter of, oh, we're glad you're here. It's a matter of, oh, we're glad you're here. We were empty that week.
Right.
So,
I think Chris has it right, too. She always says, don't book what you can't afford.
That's true. You know? Don't book with the intentions of getting a discount.
You know, book what you can afford. If you get the discount you want to upgrade at that point, then you upgrade. But book what you can afford. And I think that that's really good advice that she gives.
So I will say that I was very interested in what Steve and Lisa have to say about the food. Because in the 90s and the 80s, I didn't get to eat in any table service restaurants really frequently. It was mostly quick service because I really couldn't afford anything else. And I just think this says a lot about what's going to happen food-wise. You know, are we still going to have really good quality? Are places like, you know, Chefs de France, which I love, but I can tell you most, I don't think Lauren and Lisa like it.
I like it.
You know, I like
okay,
it.
You, okay, so, y'all liked it. Okay, yeah. I stand corrected. Rose and Crown, I know you both don't like.
Don't like it.
No, not at all.
So I just wonder, how is this going to affect everything? How is it going to affect guests? You know, if people stay off property, they discover a whole world out there.
Now, are you thinking that if free dining goes away, that the food quality is going to increase, or that the food quality is going to decrease?
I think it's going to decrease. I don't think they can keep these restaurants. They have over 250 places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So that bothers me.
Think about the cost of dining. You know, when we first started doing this 5 years ago, dining was for an adult was $38 a night. It's almost $60 a night now.
It's huge crazy. Increase.
So
like crazy. It was such a value back then. It is, but now, and I get it. Like the cost of the restaurants have gone up. You know, my family of four can't go to a nice sit down restaurant, a one table service credit, nice sit down restaurant, or a nice character meal for dinner, and not spend close to $200.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Especially the way the girls eat.
Right.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Go ahead.
I mean, the other point used to be that with free dining, everybody thought the food quality went down because, you know, they don't want to offer all this great stuff on the menu because everyone's going to go for the top item because it's free. So they're not going to have lobster and all these amazing things.
I don't buy that. I think they work the cost based on everyone getting the steak or the most expensive thing.
Yeah, but so they're not going to. Yeah, but that limits the food choices and the food quality because they know they're giving it away for free. So why are they going to give away
on the food? Really, the steak doesn't cost them $49.
No, and it doesn't. And if everyone
and a salad, the salad that Lisa orders doesn't cost them nothing, anything.
It doesn't. They get it from the land.
But I see your point. I see your point about the restaurants not being full during those dates. And that's a lot of places that, you know, could end up like the Odyssey, where it's just an empty shell of a restaurant that's just sitting there because they don't have people that are going to eat there. But
Steve, I'm going to have to disagree because I think that people these days, the Disney goers these days, want the dining plan. They want the convenience. They want to prepay. They don't want to worry about meals and costs when they get there. They love having an allowance. And they know exactly what they get. They get a drink. They get a meal. They get a dessert. They know.
Well, it's an all-inclusive type thing.
You can say that, Lisa, but I am very nervous about the number of clients that I have that took the dining plan off yesterday. They stayed at their resorts, but they took the dining plan off. And one girl, and they're Mouse Chat listeners, Allison and Paul, she said, you know, we don't really eat like that anyway, so why do I need the dining plan? I'm going to stay at my moderate resort because I couldn't get them anything except a value. I'm going to stay at my moderate resort and go ahead and, you know, eat off property. So,
wow. I think
I think that is just really time consuming.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it could do it once, yeah.
But I don't, for me, I'd rather have the convenience of eating in the park. But for me, And with my husband freaks out over the cost of things.
Yes.
So for me, if I bury the cost in the dining plan.
Honey, everything's paid for.
He's like, I can order anything I want. This is great. Like he doesn't, it's all of a sudden it magically doesn't matter, you know? So, you know, and I think for a lot of people, you know, that may have a spouse who's more budget conscious, it's a good way to bury the costs so that you can enjoy yourself. You can have those nicer meals. You can relax.
Don't you just
and
do
not
the
stress out about it.
You should do the diversion when the check arrives. Hey, there's a big mouse over there.
Hey, Sharpie, do you typically get the dining plan when you go? Do you find it to be a convenience or a value or both?
It is a mixed bag for us. We have done the dining plan. We've done Tables in Wonderland, and we've done just plain out of pocket. I think what a lot of guests go to Walt Disney World for is the convenience of parking your car at your home airport, getting on an airplane, arriving, Magical Express, and Disney takes care of you the entire time you're there. I think Magical Express was a game changer for the Walt Disney World Resort for the simple fact that it keeps people on property without a vehicle. So whenever you think about leaving property for a meal, sure, it sounds convenient, but for the average Walt Disney World visitor who maybe visits once a year, once every other year, once every 3 years, once in a lifetime, they're going to spend their entire vacation on the Walt Disney World property.
I think that's true if you're talking about infrequent visitors, but seasoned people are kind of like, hey, I heard they have some good Vietnamese food on 192, which, you know, or is it 92? I can't remember now that I live in Georgia. We've got one of our own.
I think it's 192 down there.
192. Thank you. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
We still eat the vast majority of our meals on Disney property.
Do you think that would change? Like, I have to be honest. The thought of my 12-year-old, who doesn't really eat as much as your typical 12-year-old yet, having to pay $45 for a buffet for him is pretty scary.
That actually is my second biggest complaint at Disney World.
Yeah.
Our next stop after that would be to cook in our own villa. Because, I mean, being DVC members comes with that perk of having a kitchen. Yeah. So that would be our next stop before we would go off property to dine. It's pretty funny. We did a free trip once, literally kind of free. The lodging was covered by hotel loyalty points. And I had stayed at a hotel that provided me with a $25 Ruby Tuesday gift card for every night of my stay. So I ended up with about a little over 14 $25 gift cards. So honestly, we went off property to eat at Ruby Tuesday every night for a week.
Ruby Tuesdays for a week. That's pretty bad.
And it kind of burnt my wife out on Ruby Tuesday. I love Ruby Tuesday's salad bar. I could go there and have a salad and a baked potato every single night of the week and I would be just fine. But I'm just crazy like that. But whenever it comes to what you do as a family, I look at families that have more than two kids and I say, how do you go to Walt Disney World and afford to eat?
Oh, it's terrible. We've got three kids.
Yep.
And the little ones are, you know, they're eight, so they're still on that cheap dining plan. But the big, I don't know. I haven't had the dining plan since November when we went down for Thanksgiving. And I don't know.
I think Disney should have their dining plan start at age 13 and up for adults.
Yeah, I think so. Because I don't, you know, you always hear the stereotype of like the teenage boy or the preteen. It's not really the preteen boy. It's the teenage boy who eats like a horse. But I don't know a lot of boys my son's age who.
Okay, we went off on a tangent, and so we edited that out. And now we're going to continue with the conversation and talk about the future of free dining and just give it a couple of minutes, and then we'll wrap up.
It's dead. It's
free
dead in the
food
water.
For everyone.
It should be dead, but it's not going to be dead.
It's no, Lauren, it's got to be dead. It's not even free dining anymore. They made people get a park hopper.
True.
That's true.
Agreed.
There has to be a more interesting promotion.
Yes. They're still going to call it free dining.
You might be right.
What are they going to is it going to be like one free
gonna
snack
give,
credit?
They're going to give one day in October. 2 days in November.
No.
Do you know what the best thing I saw? It was one sentence, and it was so – it perfectly summed up everything. Someone put it on my Facebook page, and they said, they'll keep adding free dining, but it will be 32 rooms at concierge level. And I'm like, you're right.
That's for $14,000 exactly a night.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It could be.
That's true. Because even like the deluxe resorts, I couldn't get a lot of availability in the deluxes either, come to think of it.
I would like to see, or I think we'll see, more things that don't cost Disney money, like room upgrades, I think, are, you know, get a preferred room, blah, blah. Hoppers, I think, Memory Maker. These are all things that are very low cost for Disney. Food costs a lot of money.
But even do the free purchase quick service, get free plus.
I think that
would be a great promotion.
I think there are definite things that Disney can do if they want to steer away from free dining, which it certainly seems like they want to make it a little more difficult or a little more...
Yeah.
A little...
Okay, a little less hard on their pocket, but
so
and
here's a
nothing here's wrong a, with that.
Here's a question.
Sharpie?
Question. Disney has blue sky talk. Gather everyone in the room and talk about it. Here's a gray sky talk. Would you take free dining if Disney could tell you where you were eating every meal?
No.
Ugh.
Really?
No. That's like Getting a fast pass for it's a small world.
Although it may be going that way.
And it's sort of like you think about people with, like, for example, allergies or people with who are vegetarians or whatever. You can't tell people with food issues that they have to
or
eat
picky
at a certain
eaters.
Place.
Yeah,
yes,
you're going to have
eaters.
Huge issues.
I'm not going to name any names.
Thank you.
So I was talking about Lauren.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you'll eat broccoli. You're not picky.
I like broccoli.
Do you really?
I love broccoli.
Building on that, if they did that, then how do you make it fair? You give one person, let's say, the plaza, and you give another person Be Our Guest, or you give them Chef Mickey. How do you give them an E-ticket rating and a B-ticket rating?
That's never going to happen.
It would not happen.
Do you think one family... character meal per trip. Do you think having that as the promotion, do you think that would attract people?
I think a guaranteed character meal? Yeah.
Anything would attract people.
It all depends. Go ahead, Chris.
No, you go ahead.
I called Chris.
Okay. So, but when you think about it, and it's so interesting about the park hopper. So say you've got a family of five and that hopper just cost what? $350. They took $350 off of free dining. It's not free anymore. So they're giving people something that doesn't cost them anything. So that's what you're going to see, I think.
And that's fine, but don't call it free dining.
Right. I totally agree with you, Lauren.
Right.
Don't
Sorry,
call
Steve,
it free dining.
What
were
we gonna
call
say?
It free park hopper with everybody who books from these dates.
Steve, what were you going
to
say?
Well, it all depends on the economy and what they need to do to, if years ago, 10 years ago, if the first free dining offer was just a free character meal, people would have loved it. And, you know, so it starts out, their deals always start out great. And then over time, they whittle them away to see, you know, what they can do to still entice people and still fill the rooms. And then.
Yeah, they're not out to be our friends. No. They're out to make money.
Doesn't it make you laugh when people say, Walt would be spinning in his grave? No, he wouldn't.
Walt was out for money too, but I think some things that Disney does currently, which is a whole nother show, would make Walt turn in his grave.
Yeah, but it'd be like silly things we wouldn't even think about, like letting cast members wear facial hair or serving beer in all the parks except for the Magic Kingdom.
You know what? I think that's a topic for another show.
Yes.
You know, I also think it's interesting that normally when they put free out for the whole four month period of time like they just did, they usually have the last day to book it usually in early October, end of September, and it's July 10th this year, and I think that is very interesting.
Alrighty, that's going to wrap up this week's show. I'd like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you like our shows, you can download them at iTunes and also at mousechat.net. I'd like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you like our shows, go to iTunes or to mousechat.net, and you can download them there. If you have any comments or questions for us, please write to us at comments@mousechat.net. Thanks so much for joining us this week, and please join us again next time on Mousechat.